The big question, how is Toyota's latest recall different?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The big question in a moment. First, new numbers from the Labor Department on initial jobless claims. The number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits dropped by 23,000 last week. That's a better number than analysts expected. The total number of new claims last week, 452,000. Another big recall from Toyota. The Japanese automaker said today it's found potential mechanical problems with 1.5 million of its cars, more than half of them here in the United States. But Toyota's learned a little bit about how to handle those recalls, given they've had so many in the past year. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about it. Morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Steve.
First off, which cars are we talking about here?
It's the Lexus Avalon. The Lexus, the Avalon, and the Highlander. It's 2004 to 2006 models. The problem is the brake cylinder can leak, and Toyota will notify owners and fix the cars at no charge.
Now, earlier this year, Mitchell, Toyota denied a bunch of mechanical problems. We had the gas pedals and the floor mats and the brakes. Then they ultimately recalled, what, 10-plus million cars anyway? How's this recall going to affect the company?
Well, this time around, they're clearly getting ahead of the story. They say no accidents have been reported. They sort of appear, you know, forthright and cautious right at the outset. David Bailey follows the auto industry at Coventry University, that's in the UK, and he says Toyota needs to keep doing what it can to restore its reputation with customers.
Toyota was definitely damaged by the huge recall. Traditionally, they had an emphasis on quality, and it will take some time to recover.
Well, are they recovering, Mitchell, in terms of U.S. car buyers?
You know, I looked at Toyota's sales numbers. They're up from last fall, but in fact, all the big automakers are because a year ago, you may remember, sales had plummeted after cash for clunkers expired. At this point, Toyota's not up nearly as much as its main competitors like Ford, Hyundai, Honda. I asked David Bailey why.
They've gone previously for a massive dash for growth. And they've changed their strategy on that. What they want to do is get the basics right, offering cars that are high quality, that are reliable, and let the growth look after itself.
And so right now they're looking after that reputational aspect to make sure customers trust them.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting live for us. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Car owners could be the ones helping to pay off federal fines for pollution. Air quality regulators in California's San Joaquin Valley vote today on that proposal, a first, if approved, for slapping pollution fines on consumers along with companies. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
The San Joaquin Valley is facing a $29 million fine for speeding past its federal ozone limit. Regulators say local industries have reduced emissions. Now drivers should share the burden. Regulators propose an annual $10 to $24 surcharge on vehicle owners. Environmental economist Robert Costanza says this version of the polluter pays principle is misguided.
Because it sounds like this approach would be quite regressive in its effects on poor people.
Unemployment in California's Central Valley is especially high, and alternatives to driving are limited. Clean Air Watch President Frank O'Donnell says consumers need more transportation choices.
I would hope that the public would turn to the car companies and say, look, we need to drive cars that don't pollute at all.
Surcharge supporters point out that 80% of the Central Valley's smog comes from car and truck exhaust. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed at the moment. European shares a little higher. Got word today China's economy grew at 9.6% in the latest quarter. Yeah, big time, but that was down from the quarter before. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 129 points to close at 11,107.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
It's not only the future of healthcare and taxes that may be decided with the midterm elections. One of the Obama administration's signature initiatives, high-speed rail, may also be rerouted. From the Transportation Nation Reporting Project at WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
When President Obama announced in his State of the Union he'd be putting $8 billion into high-speed rail projects, it seemed like a winning idea.
Tomorrow I'll visit Tampa, Florida, where workers will soon break ground on a new high-speed railroad funded by the Recovery Act.
He announced $1 billion to bring a line from Tampa to Orlando in a key swing state. The political calculation? Who could oppose thousands of construction jobs and a cool new technology that would put the state on the fast track to economic growth?
I'd rather take that money and fix Wisconsin's crumbling roads and bridges.
Turns out, several Republicans running for governor don't much like high-speed rail, like Wisconsin's Scott Walker, who says in this ad, high-speed rail construction will be a drain on the state's taxpayers.
They're going to have to spend up to $10 million a year just to keep a train running they may never ride.
That argument's being picked up by Republican candidates for governor in Florida and Ohio as well. Petra Todorovich, director of the planning group America 2050, says after the elections, some governors may give their money back.
That's maybe not a bad thing in the long run if that funding can go to states where the political support is strong.
And there are Republicans who support high-speed rail. Florida Congressman John Mica is one. He would chair the House Transportation Committee if Republicans take over next year. Speaking at a high-speed rail conference this spring, he said he's criticized some projects.
But I'm also a strong supporter of cost-effective transportation alternatives.
There's one other Republican who adores high-speed rail, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, a former congressman from Peoria. "Look, the people vowing to send this train back to the station are missing the boat," LaHood wrote on his blog this month. LaHood was hired, in part, to smooth relationships with Republicans. Come January, he may need to. I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
Check out the Transportation Nation project at marketplace.org. We have a link there. Finally, Joseph Jacoby, a pizza maker in Buffalo, was facing a stiff prison sentence for tax fraud. But instead, a judge ordered Jacoby to pay restitution and once a week for the next 12 months, feed his pizza to the more than 100 nightly diners at the Buffalo City Mission homeless shelter. The judge said Jacoby could choose the toppings. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A couple of years ago, Corin Tucker from the band Slater Kinney noticed things taking a turn for the worse in her adopted hometown of Portland, Oregon.
You know, a couple of the people lost their jobs, and it seemed like it started to snowball. And it suddenly was like, when is this going to end?
I'm Kai Rizdal, a rock star turned stay-at-home mom, reflects on the recession. Our series, The Art of Money, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.